Blog Talk hey. Radio.
Hey, my brother, how you doing?
Doing great, Apostle. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. Just one of those things. We'll go right ahead. You go right ahead.
Okay, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I'm Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center, Church International, at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. Our service times are at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. Wednesday night Bible study. Come by and worship with us. I'd love to see your face in the place. Well, how are you doing today, Apostle?
I am blessed.
That's good. That's good. God is he's a good God.
He is a good God. He's a good God.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles with me, all those who are listening all around the world. If you would, turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 43.
Okay.
And we'll be reading verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters. Thus saith the Lord. This is God talking.
Mm-hmm.
Which maketh a way. And that's the word that God gave me to give to you today. God will make a way for you. God will make a way for you. He's the God,
amen.
The scripture says here. The scripture says right here that he's the God that maketh a way in the sea and
amen.
A path in the mighty waters. Oh, it could be storming at sea, or it could be mellow at sea. It doesn't matter. God is able to make a way. Oh, glory to God. He's the God that makes a way. So God wanted me to tell you that God will make a way for you. Look at Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, and let's read verses 1 through 3. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand had I have holden, to his right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. Here's God. God's making a way for Cyrus, his anointed. He's making a way for him. He's anointed him to do a work, and God has obligated himself by anointing Cyrus to make a way for him. So he told Cyrus, he says, I open the doors before him, the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. God is saying to you today, he's saying to you today that he's going before you and making a way for you. And anything that's crooked, he's straightening it out. Oh, glory to God. Anything that's jacked up and messed up, he's straightening it out. He's making the crooked places straight. Might be crooked right now. It might be raggedy right now. But God's going to straighten it out. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break
amen.
In pieces the gates of brass and cut us under the bars of iron. Anything that's just in your way that's trying to hinder you or stop you, God says he's going to break in pieces. No matter how hard, you know, brass is pretty hard. He says, I'll break it in pieces, the gates of brass, and I'll cut the bars of iron. You know, these things are hard. He said, I cut them. I cut it in pieces. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
There are some treasures and hidden in darkness that we don't know about. Hidden riches of secret places. There's hidden riches in secret places. And there's treasures in dark places. But God says, I'll make a way for you, and I'll give you these hidden riches in secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by name, am the God of Israel. God will make a way for you, and he wants you to know that it's him doing it. God will make you rich while doing it and give you treasures out of it in hidden places. He's doing all this so you can know that it's him doing it. He's saying that when this happens, you'll know that I'm the one that's doing it. Oh, glory to God. God will make a way for you, and it will be obvious that it's him doing it. You see, God specializes in doing the things that we can't do. God will make a way. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 33. That's the word that God wanted me to encourage you with tonight. God will make a way. Things might seem difficult for you right now, but God is saying that he's going. You know, God has never stopped working. After the creations, he rested on the seventh day, but he's still working. Glory to God. God is still working. Hallelujah. He's not on vacation. He's still working as of today. He's still working. Mm-hmm. Those who are listening all around the world, I'd just like to encourage you by telling you that God is still working. He hasn't stopped working. He's still working. He's doing things behind the scenes. He's still working on your behalf. He hasn't stopped working. Deuteronomy chapter 33. See what Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. See what it says. The eternal God is thy refuge. He's the one that we can run into when we need help. He's our refuge, the eternal God, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. So God is our refuge, and underneath us are his everlasting arms. Oh, glory to God. His arms are not going anywhere. Where? They're everlasting. He's ever taking care of us and watching over us. Scripture says over in Psalm that he's a very present help in the time of trouble.
Yes, yes.
God is not going anywhere. He's here to help us, and he's here to make a way for us. He's here to straighten out the crooked places before us. He's here to be our refuge. Oh, glory to God. And he says that his everlasting arms are under us. He's not going anywhere. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us. He's not going to run out on us. God will make a way. You got to know it. You got to believe it. You got to speak it. You got to accept it. And you just got to do what God says. He will make a way for you. He'll go before you and straighten out those crooked places. When things get tough, he'll carry us. Hallelujah. When things get tough, he'll carry us. Have you ever felt like before that, hey, man, I can't make it another step. I can't go another day. But he comes and he strengthens us. That's him carrying us. He gives us a burst of energy. That's him carrying us. He'll send an encouraging word by someone to you. That's him carrying us. Glory to God. God will make a way for you. He wants you to win. He wants you to know that he's with you. And he'll carry you when you need to be carried. Look at Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. Hallelujah. God will carry you. He'll carry us when we need carrying. I've needed carrying before in my life. Isaiah chapter 46. And let's read verse 3 and 4. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. That's us, because we are Israel. We've been engrafted into the family of God. We've been engrafted into Israel. So he's talking to us. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly. That word born, it means carried. It means carried. So God has been carrying us from the belly since we've come out of our mother's womb. God has been carrying us. Oh, glory to God. There's a lot of times I could have been dead long time ago as a child, but God was carrying me, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried. There it is right there, which are carried from the womb. So God has been carrying us ever since we've come out of our mother's womb. Oh, glory to God. That's why, you know what, God protects children. I've gotten, as a kid, I almost got hit by cars. But God, he was carrying me. He protected me. I almost got shot in my young years. But God was carrying me. He a lot of things that could have ended up in a bad way that could have been deadly didn't take me out because all along, God was carrying me. He's been carrying me, Apostle, from the womb, since I've come out of my mother's womb. God has been carrying us. God has been carrying you. Matter of fact, he's carrying you right now. A lot of us could have been dead. We could have been dead months ago or years ago, but we're still here. We're still here. We're wondering how we're making it. I tell you how we're making it. God is carrying us. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And even to your old age, I am he. God says, I'll carry you even until your old age. Hallelujah. Ooh, that's good news. He carries us. God will make a way for you. He'll make a way for you, number one, but he'll go before you and make the crooked places straight. Number two, he'll carry you. He'll carry you. We need to be carried sometimes. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to your gray hairs will I carry you. God says, I carry you even when your hairs are gray. I have made and I will bear. He says, I have made you, so I'll carry you. Even I will carry and will deliver you. God said, not only will I carry you, Apostle, he said, I'll deliver you when you need delivery. When you get yourself in a bind, and I'll come in and I'll save you. I'll deliver you. Hallelujah. When you're backed up into a corner, I'll come in and I'll deliver you. Oh, glory to God. When you don't know how you're going to get out of a situation, not only will I carry you, I'll come in and I'll deliver you. I've seen God deliver me out of some serious situations. I remember one time when I was out on the streets years ago, long time ago, I was selling drugs, and a guy came up to me and he robbed me, pulled a pistol out on me. And this person, he just didn't want to rob me. He was with another friend, too. He had another person with him, and they had me hemmed up. He pulled his gun out on me, told me to give up all my dope and money. And then he tried to shoot me. I saw him pulling the trigger, but God jammed the pistol.
My God.
That was God carrying me. God delivered me, and he carried me. He jammed that pistol just long enough for me to get away, and then the pistol went out. Ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. I mean, he was shooting at me, but God was blocking every bullet. I didn't get hit, but at point-blank range, this guy tried to kill me. But God jammed the pistol. He jammed the pistol. I'm a witness that God will carry you and God will deliver you. The scripture says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Oh, glory to God. God caused the gun not to work. Don't you know that God has even power over pistols? He has, he has power over things. So I'm here to tell you that God, he will make a way for you. He'll make a way for you by going before you and making the crooked places straight. And he'll also carry you when you need carrying. When you feel like you don't have enough strength to go on, God will carry you. Things can get discouraging at times. Things can look pretty bad at times. But God promises here, I will carry you. And not only will I carry you, I'll deliver you.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. I will deliver you. Hallelujah. And here's another point. He won't let you be discouraged. Not only will he won't let you be disgraced. He won't let you be put to shame. He won't let you be disgraced. You know, the devil, he wants to make an open showcase of you. He wants to disgrace you. He wants to mock you. You know, I'm at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive, and you know, I've had people pass by at my church over there in Acres Home, and you know what? Some of the people they pass by don't even look at me. Don't even look at me. And then you know, I've had people come there and cause trouble. I've heard pastors, you know, what put me down. On a slick way, putting me down. But that's all right. That's all right. I have a promise right here that God won't let me be disgraced. He won't let me be put to shame. You know, God is carrying me right now, and you know what? He will deliver me, and he has delivered me before. He's going to come through for me. And you know, so people might be laughing at you right now. They might be laughing at you, or some of you who are on the air right now. Some of you have already been gone through this before, and you're a living witness that God didn't let you be put to shame. He delivered you. He carried you through it all. And I just want to encourage you and let you know that God will make a way for you. He won't let you be disgraced. He won't let you be mocked forever and put to shame forever. God will make a way for you. Look at Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 17. But Yisrael shall be saved. You see, God's letting you know, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you. Look like you're out of reach right now. Look like there's no help for you right now. Look like you're down for the count right now. But look, I'm going to come through for you. I'm going to save you. Isn't that wonderful news? But Yisrael, you can put your name there. But John, but Apostle Hunter, put your name there. But Yisrael shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed. Look at there. God won't let you be disgraced. He said, you will not be ashamed. You know, there's a scripture that says he'll give you double for your what? For your shame, Apostle. He'll give you double for your shame.
Amen.
You're not going to be ashamed, put to shame forever. God's going to save you. He's going to come through for you. You shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. Glory to God. You shall not be disgraced. That Hebrew word is kalam. Kalam. It means ashamed. Kalam is the Hebrew word for disgrace. You shall not be ashamed. You got to know this. You got to believe it. You got to speak it. You got to accept it. God will make a way for you. God hasn't forgotten about you. Oh, glory to God. God hasn't forgotten about you. Let me show you how, before it's all over, this is how it's going to end up. Before it's all over. Glory to God. I want to read this scripture for you. And it's Isaiah chapter 60. All of chapter 60, it's very encouraging. Isaiah chapter 60. He says, arise and shine, for thy light has come, Oh, glory to God. Mm-hmm. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Oh, glory to God. God's wanting to encourage you now. He says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. The Gentiles are the heathen, those who don't know God. They will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. You will not be around obscure people, obscure men. You're going to be around men and people of prominence. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Oh, glory to God. He goes on to say, lift up your eyes around about you and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. People, you're going to have sons and daughters, Apostle. Sons and daughters, they're going to come to you.
Yeah.
They're going to come to they're going to come to you from afar. And thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then you shall see and flow together, and your heart shall fear. What is going on? You're going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed that God is doing all this for you. Kings are going to be coming to you. Sons and daughters from around the world are going to be coming to you. Oh, glory to God. And you're going to wonder, what's going on? Who's doing all that? I tell you who's doing all this. It's God going before you, making your way straight. It's God going before you, making things work for you. He says, and you shall see and flow together, and your heart shall fear. You're going to be amazed and be enlarged because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces, that word force right there in the Hebrew, it means the wealth. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. I tell you, people are going to come unto you and bring in money unto you to help you carry out the mission of God for your life. Sons and daughters are going to be coming unto you. Oh, it's been hard and difficult for a while, but God's going to make a way for you. And God is no respecter of persons. He's done it for one, and he's going to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
The multitudes of camels shall cover thee. Multitudes of camels. That's stock. That's wealth. That's stock.
Yeah.
The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. And you all are going to be praising the Lord. And they're going to be happy supporting you. Oh, glory to God. They're going to be bringing you wealth from afar. They're going to be bringing you wealth and riches, and they're going to be happy about it. And they're going to be praising God with you. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together. That's wealth again, stock, livestock, together unto thee. The rams of Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So I'm telling you that God will make a way for you. He knows your address. He hasn't forgotten about you. He's going to make the crooked places straight, the crooked way straight. He's going to carry you when you need carrying and deliver you. He will not let you be disgraced. God simply said, God will make a way for you. He's going to open doors for you. That Hebrew word is patach, and it means to open wide. He's going to open doors wide for you. Oh, glory to God. And make the crooked places straight. He's going to bear you up. Sabal is the Hebrew word for bear. He's going to bear you up. Sabal. He's going to carry you. He will not let you be disgraced. Know it. Believe it. Speak it. And accept it. And that's what God wanted me to share with you tonight. Apostle.
Amen. Well, praise the living God. I know that God has been good.
Amen.
He has been good. Amen. He has been good. Amen. And I know we got the pastor on right now. Pastor, you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And highly flavored.
Amen.
Highly flavored.
Hello, Pastor.
Hi, how are you? Good word.
You're doing great.
Yeah, in fact, I was kind of siphoning that right off the top because I needed some of that right at the moment.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yeah, praise God. You know, I just want to just maybe touch on what you were talking about and let it go a little bit further, because if God's giving you a vision or he gives you an idea and he puts it into your heart, you know, we're to act on it. But at the same time, you know, we need to wait, because God will begin to open those doors.
You're right.
Send, like you said, he will send somebody to direct your path. He will send somebody with a word like you said, encouragement. He'll send somebody that will sit there and just right out of the blue say, well, you know, if you go down here and you turn right, you hit the corner.
That's
here,
right.
It's like about 6 miles out. I don't know why, but you might find what you're looking for, you know, or something like
that's
that,
right.
You know, or so we can't get discouraged. And at times, you know, after God gives you a word, you in retrospect, you just don't sit in the chair in front of the TV set and expect it to happen, because even at best, you still have to get out and look. And even if, you know,
it seems
like you have to go around the mountain a half a dozen times, and then finally you get to the point where you're so weary and you cry out and say, God,
yes.
What? What? And he says, okay, now I got your attention.
That's right. That's right.
Because many times what happens is we take what he wants to do out of his hands, and then we try to manipulate it. We try to make it work for ourselves.
Amen.
And it's not
Amen.
Going to. You know,
it's
he's
not
the
going
potter.
To.
That's right. He's the
That's
potter.
Right.
He's giving you the idea. He's giving you the vision, and he's also set aside those who are going to come alongside you to help you, to encourage you, to lift you up, and those who is going to be able to help support you. And it's all comes. But the minute you sit there and you figure, well, I'm going to do this and I got this and whatever else, no, you don't. What God wants you to do is he wants you to be constantly vigilant. And vigilant is not just going out there and digging in a potato patch. Being vigilant is keeping your eye out for that person that's going to come into your life, that's going to give you a word. Being vigilant as to what direction that he wants you to go. Sometimes he gives you a sign. And I had a friend of mine sit there and tell me one time when I was in Houston and I had just finished building a Christian nightclub for a pastor friend of mine. My obligation was to build it. And he sent me to Alabama to pick up one of those old dinosaur stoves. And I'm on the way back. I stopped over to right there at the border of Louisiana and Texas and on 10 there. And I just sit there and I was just praying to God and going a little frustrated, a little whatever else, and just tired and God said, stand up. So I got out of the truck and I looked and I couldn't see. The swamp was in front of me and all the cars were at the other end of the rest area. So I got back in the truck and I said, well, I don't know what that was all about. And I looked in the side view mirror and all I could see was a license plate and it said North Carolina. So I sat there and I said, well, whatever. And I got back to Houston and we unloaded the stove and friend of, a man that I met some months prior, he walked in out of the blue and he says, you know, God sometimes gives us a sign. Sometimes it could be just as much as a road sign.
Yeah.
And I just sat there and I went, well, Okay, and the only thing I could think of was that sign for North Carolina. And I sat there and I said, okay, and he says, would you honor me and my wife to go to lunch? And I said, sure, when you want to do that? And he says, right now. So I got my tool belt and walked out the door with him, and he started talking about Jonah. He says, I don't know why I'm getting into this. I don't know why I'm talking to you about Jonah. And then, of course, we know the story that he disobeyed God, and he went his way, and a lot of disasters was coming about. And that's what happens in our lives, because
yes.
We disobey God. We start to sit there and go our direction instead of,
right.
Like I said, man saying, well, you know, if you go down here to the corner and turn right and you drive about 6 miles out down there on the left-hand side, and you say, no, I think I'm going to go in the other direction. Well, then you've taken God's blessing out of your hand because you decided you're going to build it.
Right.
And they lose the blessings, and nothing but trouble comes about. You know, in fact, I've just been on the road. I did a TV thing this morning in South Houston, and then I turned around and got in a truck, and I drove. I drove almost all the way to San Antonio, and then I got up, and I said, well, so I drive, actually ended up in Austin. I'm on my way back. I'm in Homestead right now, or Hempstead. Driving back, and I'm saying, well, God, I know you have something because I've seen the building. And people have come up to me, and they said, and they told me that they were going to, they need to be a part of my ministry. And
yes.
I had people sit there and telling me these things. And I know God has given me a vision. He's given me a hope. He's given me an idea, but I have no idea where it's at. But at the same time, yeah, I'm spending a little money, a little gas, and I'm driving around because I know that I see this place.
Yes.
When I
yes.
see this place, I'll know that I'll know that I know. That happened
That's
to me
right.
when I went to New Orleans during the Katrina. I'd walked down from Michigan. I walked all the way to New Orleans. And I had no idea where I was going, and so I stayed at the St. Vincent de Paul there at the shelter, and for a couple of nights, and I was ministering to people. And then a friend of mine, or a person I met down there, said, "Hey, you want to go get a hot meal?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" So we walked up to City Park. We got into City Park, and as soon as I walked in there, I know where I'm supposed to be. I just knew
Amen.
It was spirit. And so you see, to carry on what you're talking about, yeah, God wants to bless us and he wants us, but you know, we don't understand exactly what it is he wants to bless us to do. We don't understand. Sometimes maybe it's a vision. Sometimes, like you said, you know, he takes things out of your lives. And yet so many times we sit there and we try to grab a hold of it and hold on to it. And God can't work with us. On the show this morning, I was talking about, I said, you know, when we humble ourselves, God can work with us.
Yes.
It's when we cry out and say, what, God, what? He says, now I can do something with you.
Yes.
Because he can't do anything when you figure you're the one who knows what to do. Well, you're the one who knows how to do this. You're the one that's in control, and you're not. And God has set it all up. He really wants to put it into your hands because
yes.
he knows that you can do it. But at the same time, we have to humble ourselves because in humbling ourselves, that's when we find the greatness. We find the greatness of God.
Because
that's
right. Pastor.
All these blessings start to come into our lives. And like you said, kings and the president and the governors and all the different nations, they all start to come into your life. People will come from the four corners of the globe to sit there and start blessing you into your life because God will bring them to you.
Yes.
And as long as you're staying humble, as long as you're staying, and you're saying, how is this? How is this to be? God, why? You know, and that humility of humbleness that God will continue to bless you and bless you and bless you. But the minute you decide you know what you're doing,
yes.
the minute you died to take it out of his hands.
Right.
It's going to crumble. It's going to crumble.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And there's nothing you can do once it starts to fall apart, because that wall comes down. Or like Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. You know, all the king's men couldn't put him back together again. And
yeah.
Exactly. And
that's
doesn't
right.
Matter how, no matter how many brothers and sisters that come to your aid in Christ, no matter whoever comes in, because if you have sit there and smashed that egg, you're not going to be able to put that back together. No man is going to be able to put that back together. Only thing you
that's
can
right.
do is you can pick up the shells, pick up the yolk, and pick everything else and say, God, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. So he will
yes.
sit there and wipe your hands clean and give you a new egg. It won't be the same egg. It will have the same attentions, but it won't have the same properties that you had in that first egg. But it'll be a new beginning, a new start. But then at that time, you'll be able to learn and understand, saying, okay, God, you're in control, not me.
Amen.
I'm going to do it your way, not my way. But like I
Amen.
Said at the same time, we can't sit on the couch and expect it to come. We still have to go out and look for it. We still
You're
have
right.
to drive from Houston to San Antonio, San Antonio to Austin, and my back way back to Houston again. But it's okay. I'm in praise God. I'm in, you know, because leastways I made an attempt to see where this place is at.
Glory.
And I can
drive, and I can
sit there and drive to Oklahoma. I can drive wherever else and come back. And you know, and probably if I listened to the man in the first place and gone down here to the light and make a right hand turn and go 3 miles, I'd probably run right into it. So we don't know.
We don't know.
Trust God. We just gotta
That's
trust
right.
God. We trust him in everything that we do. We trust him in our lives. We trust him in our relationships. God brings a good man or a woman onto you. Yeah, it's good to sit there and talk and test each other, you know, and see where each other's at. But it's a blessing. God sat there. I met a woman actually in Africa. And he sat there and said, this woman is going to come on to you. Because I'm going, not knowing where, who, or anything else, I sit there one day, I said, God, I want to have the hand of your daughter for marriage. And I sitting there trying to figure, well, maybe this one, maybe that one, maybe this one, maybe that one.
Yeah.
I'm looking here, I'm looking there. And then God spoke to me when I was in Africa. And I went, wow. And she is about everything that I was hoping in a woman.
Whoa.
I mean everything. And I just don't know. But like I said, I even asked God, you know, because I sat there and I said, well, God, I don't know where this woman's at. Either send her to me or send me to her.
Yes.
So anyhow, the door's open for me to go to Africa. And lo and behold, this woman came, and I met her, and I sat there, and then and about 4 or 5 days later, God said, this woman is going to come on to you. And we've been talking, we've been chatting, we've been talking back and forth and back and forth ever
Amen.
Since.
Amen.
I love, yeah, you know, and I'm just saying this because there's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope in the Lord. There's hope in everything that God has for you. You
That's
know,
right.
we need to rejoice in it. You know, even though she's still in Africa and I'm here, that doesn't make that any difference that, you know, that she can still get on a plane to come here or either that.
That's
God's
right.
going to send me to Africa. You know, I have no
That's
idea.
That's right.
But we need
but he
to
can
stay
do it.
Focused. We need you exactly. We need to stay focused. We need to stay focused in what God has. And I know what God has given me. All of a sudden, he's given me all this other material. And I said, well, God, you gave me this stuff, so you have a plan for it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is yet, but I also know you gave me a vision. And that vision is to be able to set up and put a sanctuary up where we can minister onto broken pastors. and broken vessels, and to be able
Glory
to have
to
a 24-hour ministry. Because in Africa,
awesome.
believe it or not, in Africa, they maybe have an hour, 2 hour of prayer before opening up the service. Then they have another hour, hour and a half of praise and worship before the pastor even gets up and speaks. Then the pastor might speak for 2 hours. Then they might break for lunch. They'll break for lunch, and they'll come back, and they'll start the prayer again. And then we'll start another hour and a half or 2 hours of praise and worship. And then there'll be a pastor who'll get up and speak for another hour and a half to 2 hours. I'm serious.
Wow.
The churches in Africa, the ones I went to in Africa, believe it or not, some of them, their services are 4 to 5 hours to 8 hours to 12 hours.
My God.
And they go 4, 5, 6, 7 days a week. This girl I met, and I'm talking to her, and I sit there and I said, you know, I said, we're lucky we get people here in the United States to sit there and be able to get them into a church and let them sit there for an hour and a half. And I said, and then they close the doors the rest of the week. And she says, you're kidding me. She could not believe. She could not believe the church is here in this country.
Ooh, that's hunger.
And they know because they see the mega churches and they see all this stuff and they figure these mega churches, you know, even the pastor I was talking to today on the TV show, you know, this is a shame. We've got all these beautiful buildings, all these beautiful places, and they're only open for 2 or 3 hours and they're closed. And they're closed and they're gone for the whole week. And this is for a mission that what God has for you to open up a place to run it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Once I said on this radio program, I think it was almost a year ago, I said, God put it on my heart to put a 24/7 ministry together. Not so much a church, but a ministry wherever to be able to bring in those people, and they would be able to come, and they would be there for a day or a week or a month, however long it takes to sit there and restore them. And they go out, not to have a church with a congregation, but this would be an overflow of ministers. It'd be overflow of people who are broken, who the churches have broken them, whatever else, however God brings them. But be able to minister them 24 hours a day.
Yes. Wow. Awesome.
And like
awesome
I said,
vision.
Yes, yeah, and that's the vision what God has given me, and I'm sharing this with you because I'm ecstatic. Inside of me, I'm just thrilled. What do you think I drove from Houston to San Antonio to Austin and now my way back because I'm looking for this place.
Wow.
I am
awesome.
Looking for this place. And a friend of mine said there, he says, you know, I'm going to tell you this, is God's going to show you that place, and you're going to know that you know that you know. And I said, yes, sir, I already know that. But like I said, if I would just sit on the couch at home, I would never see it. I would never find it. I would never know where it's at. Because how's he going to bring that place to me if I'm not willing to move? And I'm talking not just for myself. I'm talking to whoever else is listening on this conversation right now. God is going to move in your life, but you have to also move.
Amen.
And whatever God has put into your heart right now, whatever vision that he has given you, whatever he has put in your life into your hands, give it back to him. Because in his hands, greater things can be done through you than taking it out of his hands. And you try to work it because you will fail.
Yeah.
Even I got the vision. I've had people sit there and ask me when I am doing business. They said, well, how do you go about doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that? And I tell them. And they come back and say, well, that didn't work. I said, that's right. And they go, well, how come it didn't work? I said, because you were stealing from me. This is what I do. And you came and sit there and wanted to take whatever it is that I had. I said, there's elements to it that you don't know that I know how to make it work. It's
Amen.
The same way with God. It's the same way with God. There's elements
yes.
in what he's given you, but the same thing, it is him who makes it work.
Yes, amen.
Amen. You know, I mean, I've prospered in a lot of different businesses, and they would come, and if they wanted to pay me, they wanted to sit there and say, okay, would you, and however else, this is what I did for a business. And they would sit there and try to take that opportunity, that glean off of that, and like I said, it wouldn't work because they were taking from me.
Yes.
What I had due respect of knowing of the knowledge of, if he would have allowed me to do it and would have paid me to have done it, it would have been a success. And it's the same way with God. If you allow him to do it and you pay him, and that's the not just basically your tithes and offering, but you pay him with all the due respect that God deserves.
Amen.
And that is becoming humble. That is becoming to the point in your life where you know that he is
yes.
your provider.
Yes.
When you come to that point in your life, when you know and you understand, and you give him all the praise and all the glory. You know, even through my ministry, I talked to a person. I said, I'd done a lot of this stuff on my own, but I said it was only through the grace of God. You know, there was even in the Bible, I can't remember what king it was, is that he sat there and says, look what I built. And God turned him into Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't it?
Yes, King Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, and turned him to become a wild man to eat the grass of the fields for 7 years or whatever it was.
That's right.
Because he took the glory of God, what God
right.
had given him to build up a nation, to build up a kingdom, and he took it out of God's hands, glorified himself, and God
That's
took
right.
there and paid him. So what I'm saying right now to anyone who's listening, if God has given you that vision, God has given you something, give it back to him. And give it back to him by what I'm saying is give him the glory and give him the honor and knowing that, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but I know you do, and I am willing. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory because it is your vision.
That's good.
I am your child. And I know that you've chosen me. God has come to many, many people to show himself to you. Think about it. Pastor, you're talking about when you were doing the drugs and dealing and everything else, and God came to you and showed himself to you.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Just as he has done to me. Just as he has done to so many other people.
Yes, sir.
He has shown himself. He chose you.
Yes.
And he has shown himself to you.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes, he did. Praise God.
He's done it to me, and he's done it to so many others. And we need to restore that respect back to him.
Amen.
How that a God of all creation would sit there and take time to show himself to you. Not to show
yes,
himself to be approved, because he loved you enough to say, hey,
yes.
I'm here.
Thank
I'm
you,
here.
Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
You,
amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise
so,
God.
You know, like I said, many times we make the mistake by taking things out of God's hands and taking the glory for ourselves, and we can't do that. And
no.
we can't do that anymore. We cannot afford to sit there and be selfish with what God has given us. Yes, we need to guard ourselves. And then guarding ourselves is not guarding our secrets, because the devil uses our secrets against us.
Yes.
So we need to be open. And then when we're open and we're true to God and we confess our sins to God, we confess and say, God, you know what? I tried to wash myself, but I couldn't do it. Ooh, catch
yes.
that one. I tried to wash myself, but I couldn't do it.
But couldn't do it. Yes.
Lord, you wash me. You've cleansed me. And even though I've fallen, I've tried to be righteous. I've tried to done everything else. And maybe my alms and maybe everything that I've given, maybe you rejected it as you rejected Abel. But I also know, or Cain. But I also know that even if it was a loss, I still gain, because I gain the respect of understanding who you are.
Amen.
And when you come to that part in your life when you can sit there and still praise God in your defeats, and praise God through your anger, and praise God through all the stuff that you're dealing with in your life, and say, God, you are holy. You are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings.
Yes.
And Lord, you are the Lord thy God Almighty.
Yes.
And I surrender myself unto you. And from here on out, whatever it is, Lord, take out of my hands and fill me with that what it is that you should have me to do. And let me walk humbly before you. Praise God.
Praise God.
Basically, that's about my word for the night, guys. So well, praise God. Thank you. Thank you.
Glory to God.
Yeah, so. But, you know, like I said, we need to stay humble and fixed on the things that God has put in our lives. We need to be fixed on the glory of God. And like I said, we can't afford it today. We're seeing society deteriorate so fast. And like I said, churches that are crumbling because they've lost the ability to truly praise and worship God. You know, we give them 5 minutes, we give them 10 minutes, we give them this, we give them that, and yet we sit there and, you know, and even some of these churches that I was at, they were 10 buildings, they had cardboard in the inside for their inner walls, dirt floors, and they were praising God all day. And some were praising God all day and night, 5, 6, 7 days a week.
Awesome.
You know, I mean, we can see where we're at. We can see where they're at. And, you know, and it's not just in Africa. I've seen that in the Philippines that do the same thing. In Central America, where I go down in Central America, there's a one church down there I go to, and they have services in the daytime, and then they break, and then they have services in the evening, and it's 7 days a week.
Glory to God.
And they have nothing. They have far less than what we do here. And what do we have? An hour and a half, 2 hour service, and you know, it's time to go to lunch, let's go watch football.
That's right.
You know, even the praise and worships, the leaders in the praise and worship, the ones that they get paid, you know, as soon as they're done with their praise and worship for 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is, they pack their stuff up and they're out the door and they're gone. They don't even stay for the services.
Yes. Wow.
You know, where have we come in the body of Christ? Where have we come to in the church? What have we come to? We need to go back and take lessons. Like I said, even this ministry that God has given me, that we need to get back to the basics. And so even
Amen.
I told the pastor that I was interviewing me today, and I said, you know, it doesn't matter if you were the number one praise and worship band in the nation, if you came to this place that God is showing me that built, and you brought all your laser lights and all your bling and all your things, you would not be welcome. I said, but if you left that all home, decided to come back humble, and like in the your humble beginnings, and begin to praise God, and you not be the show, you'd be welcome. Because when you're
Amen.
The show, you put God out. I've been to churches where the pastors and the congregation that prayed and over, God, fill this house with your glory. God, fill your house with this glory. God, your presence would be here. Oh, Lord, your presence. Oh, Lord, and night after every week and every weekend and whatever else that they do, and they pray. So finally, when the Holy Spirit, I've seen this, the Holy Spirit comes into this place, and you could just feel the anointing. You feel the glory of God being in there during the praise and worship, because they're not even singing the songs that they had planned to sing. It was the glory of God filling that place, and the pastor gets up and real kind of, oh, you know, the glory of God's here, and I really hate to break this up, but you know, we got to get on. And the Spirit of God leaves. I've seen that happen.
Wow.
I've seen it happen.
Amen.
You sit there, you decided to sit there, and your message was more important than what the grace of God being in your presence. I've seen it happen. That's what I said. If I don't care if you decide you want to come and to this place to minister or whatever else, you leave your show behind and you come to the glory of God, and you minister as that in the Spirit of God, what He had first put into your life. And that's where we need to be. And
Amen.
That's where we need to stay to be. So.
Amen.
So praise God. Amen. Amen. So praise God. So.
Praise God, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you. So Dr. Hunter there, I think he stepped out of the building. Him and Elvis stepped out of the building. Oh, praise God. I'm going to let you all go. So, praise God. You know, like I said, you know, try to be encouraging and everything else. Like I said, that's what we need to be. We need to stay in that encouragement, you know. And,
that's right.
That's where we need to stay. So it was a good word for you that you had tonight. I thank you for it, because I needed a little bit of that.
And I needed what God had through you. I needed it. Glory to God. Very encouraging. Hallelujah.
All right.
God
All right.
knows what He's doing, don't He?
Amen. Amen. Praise God. He sure does. So.
Amen. God
All right.
bless you, Pastor.
You too. Have a good evening, Doc.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.